The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Redeemed, rehabilitated, and real entertaining. This is the Carl Jackson Podcast.
All right, welcome to Monday's edition of the Carl Jackson Show Podcast. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Carl Jackson Show, Rumble as well, The Carl Jackson Show. Find me on social media, The Carl Jackson Show. Massive fire destroys commercial egg farm belonging to top U.S. supplier. This from Zero Hedge. Guys, I want to talk to you today about the impact I believe that George Soros is having on the Biden White House. I believe that George Soros and his Open Societies Foundation are in large part dictating what's occurring in the White House. And I don't think that's the only influence inside of the White House. We all know that Joe Biden is a puppet. We all know that the guy is not completely there. We get that. So who's influencing Joe Biden? What made Joe Biden go from lunchbox Joe Biden to this communist that we are seeing in the White House today? Now, I contend, and I have said this for years, in my opinion, based on Joe Biden's voting record, he has never been lunchbox Joe. The guy has always been a liar, a fake, and a fraud. But times were more moderate, so he leaned that way. But now the guy has gone extremely far to the left. So who's controlling him? Again, I think George Soros is part of it. I wouldn't doubt if there are foreign actors involved in controlling the White House as well. And that's when that's what I want to get into in this edition of the Carl Jackson Show podcast. First, before I go any further, let me remind you guys, things are getting a little cray cray. All right. I'm getting ready to talk about this massive egg shortage. Been wanting to talk about this for some time, but there is more growing concern that I want to get into. So let me introduce you to my new sponsor, 4patriots.com. That's the number 4patriots.com. A food shortage could be coming even in the U.S. Actually, it's here. There's drought, there's inflation, even new policies are pushing America's food supply near the brink. And that's why survival food is more important than ever. You can create your own stockpile of best-selling 4Patriot survival food kits. It's not your ordinary food. It lasts for 25 years. It's superfood. It's hand-packed in a family-owned facility right here in the USA. They provide 200 American jobs. Praise God. The kits are compact. They're sturdy. They're water-resistant. They stack very easily in case you need to place them somewhere inside of your house in a corner closet or what have you. They have different delicious breakfast meals, lunch, dinner. All you have to do is add the boiling water, simmer, and serve. Right now, if you go to 4patriots.com, that's the number 4patriots.com, use the promo code Carl, all right? 10% off of your first purchase that's what you'll get, including their 3-month survival kit. You'll also get a year-long guarantee plus free shipping on orders that are over 97 buckaroonies, all right? They're called 4Patriots, the number 4Patriots. And the reason why is because every sale is donated, or a portion of every sale, I should say, is donated to charities that help out veterans and their families. So go to 4Patriots.com, use the promo code Carl for 10% off of your purchase. That's 4Patriots.com, promo code Carl. Start building your stockpile today. Also, just quickly, I want to talk to you about MyPillow, MyPillow.com. You guys may have heard the news over the weekend. Ronna McDaniel was voted in again as the RNC chair. Harmeet Dillon was in second place. Mike Lindell was in third place. Mike Lindell wanting to do the work of Americans, wanting to do the work of the average everyday working man, the blue collar worker. The same is true for Harmeet Dillon. But you know Mike Lindell. You know his background, you know his heart, you know his patriotism. Well, you also know his company and his products, MyPillow.com. If you want to get night's sleep, there's no better pillow out there, in my opinion, than MyPillow. You want some great sheets, you want some great towels, MyPillow.com. And speaking of towels, right now there's a 6-piece set available that includes 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, 2 washcloths, for $39.98. All you have to do is use the promo code CARL. Remember, American jobs, American manufacturing. We need more of that in the United States. We need to stop shipping our jobs overseas. Plus, you get great towels or you get a great night's sleep. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listeners special at the top of the page. All right. And then just put in my name or give them a call. 800-858-0263. 800-858-0263. And then all of these products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money back guarantee. All right. All right. Now, this is your daily dose of objective truth in a world of confusion and lies. Let's get our conservative cardio on. All right. So here's the deal. I want to bring you this story first. Now, again, I'm talking to you about George Soros and the impact that I believe, or the influence that I believe he's having in the White House. I believe his influence is major when it comes to the White House. And we'll get into why I believe that. But first, I want to bring you this story. Hat tip, Zero Hedge. Massive fire destroys commercial egg farm belonging to top U.S. supplier. So dozens of food processing plants were destroyed and or damaged last year, right? We talked about that here by quote unquote accidental fires. After several months of a lull in mysterious fires ripping through the food industry, the first major one of the new year was reported by NBC Connecticut. This happened on Saturday. More than 100 firefighters battled a massive fire at a commercial egg farm in Basra, Connecticut. Again, on Saturday, according to the Epoch Times, firefighters spent hours extinguishing what was a 150-foot blaze by 400-foot wide chicken coop at the Hillendale Farms, which contained about 100,000 chickens. They're all roasted chickens right now, or rotisserie chickens, but with the feathers. All right. So now the Salvation Army was on the site with the canteen truck there. According to them, about 100,000 of the chickens likely died in the fire. It also said that no injuries had been reported. Thank God. Now, Hillendale Farms is one of the biggest suppliers in our grocery supermarkets and chicken eggs across the U.S. You know, when I go shopping and my wife goes shopping here, those eggs are there. All right. So they are a major brand, one of the biggest suppliers all across the U.S. Now, keep in mind that the U.S. is still suffering from a major egg shortage already due to the bird flu wiping out tens of millions of egg laying hens. All right. So, guys, let me just bring this to the kitchen table. Eggs are one of the easiest sources and most economical sources of protein out there, especially if you have a large family. Now, Carl, how does this tie into George Soros? I'm going to do all of that. This Open Societies Foundation, these guys are into depopulating the earth, no different than the World Economic Forum. These people, in my mind, are truly evil. They have nothing better to do with themselves since they don't worship God. They just cave into their own depraved minds, it seems like to me. I guess they think they're doing a good thing. But this guy, George Soros, has been bad news for quite some time. And I'm going to talk to you about his influence in the White House. But I also have to wonder about stories like these. Now, granted, last year we started talking about all these fires that were occurring in food plants. It was getting really disconcerting. Now, the excuse is the explanation has been, listen, a lot of these plants weren't operational, many of them, during the lockdowns. And so as a result of that, refiring up the machine, so on, et cetera, you're more likely to cause fire damage, so on, because things haven't been maintained well. And that may well be true, but it doesn't negate the fact that it is seriously hurting our food supply. So eggs, I mean, they have been skyrocketing lately. Prices are up as high as 60% in some cases. And these fires at these food plants jumped to a decade-long high last year. So this is something to be concerned about. And you have to ask yourself the question, is the U.S. food supply under attack? Guys, this isn't even a question that I would have asked personally maybe a year or two ago. But you have to wonder. I don't put anything beyond the left and these crazy nut jobs like George Soros. I really don't. Not to say that George Soros is in there, one of his guys setting a match. But you, But the chaos that we're experiencing, a lot of these people want to occur in the United States. They want chaos. They want Americans to get so sick and tired of liberty that we change or that we start looking to these great elite hopes like the George Soros's of the world, the Klaus Schwab's, the John Kerry's, the Al Gore's of the world. That's what they want to do. They want to control us. And one of the easiest ways to control us is to take away our guns, destroy the food supply, destroy the water supply, and we'll be begging and crying like crazy to these masters of the universe, these wannabe overlords. All right, now here's a story that I want to bring you. Who is this from? Hat tip. This is Michael Schellenberger. Michael Schellenberger has been writing about homelessness. He's been writing about man-made global warming. He, as a matter of fact, was a leftist. He's more moderate today. He still considers himself a Democrat, or actually, I believe he's Democrat-minded, but he's a liberal. He's an independent now, if I recall correctly. But this is a guy that wrote the book. What is the name of his book? Apocalypse Never. That was the book that just helped to blow him up, get him all over the TV screens. He has a Substack as well. And I want to go through this column that he talked about. But in that book, Apocalypse Never, he talked about how he was a part of the left. He was promoting this climate agenda. And then finally, his daughter came home with a friend scared out of their mind. And he told them the truth. They didn't have to be so alarmed. The world wasn't going to end due to man-made climate change and so on, et cetera. So that's a book to pick up, Apocalypse Never, by Michael Schellenberger. But I do want to bring you some news. I forgot to do this. I want to make sure that I do this. And I try to do this every day when you guys tune in. And please, again, be sure to subscribe, watch, and subscribe to our podcast on YouTube. All right, The Carl Jackson Show on YouTube. The same is true for Rumble. We really like to build up our YouTube numbers. Of course, that would help us to get the word out and for our audience size to grow. And that's what we're looking to do. We want to influence more Americans, frankly, to buy into, that's probably the wrong term, to believe in our Judeo-Christian value system and our constitutional system. They are the best in the world. It is the reason why America is number one. They are the reasons why America flocks here. They are the reasons why America works. But Colorado Baker lost an appeal. You guys know Jack Phillips. The left is at him again. So he lost an appeal in a court against a couple that's suing him for refusing to make a gender transitioning cake. They're going to go after him because the goal is to scare other Christians to bow down to the trans Nazis. That's exactly what they want. I've already talked to you about Ronna McDaniel. She claims this is going to be her last time running as the RNC chair. Good. Harmeet Dillon lost by probably, I think Harmeet Dillon had 54 points or something to that effect, whereas Ronna McDaniel had 111 points. I think Harmeet Dillon would have been perfect for that role, but it'll have to wait. And at least I hope Ronna McDaniel, she's listened to the voices of the people, and we'll have to see what happens in 2024. But there's no doubt she would be kicked out if we didn't perform better in 2024. Sadly, the left chases ballots. We chase votes. And right now that isn't working for us. So we have to chase ballots wherever it is legal. Representative Ilhan Omar said Republicans keeping her accountable for her history of anti-Semitic comments basically shouldn't be tolerated. This lady said that she basically didn't realize the nonsense that she was spewing was anti-Semitism. That's like saying, I don't know that I'm a Democrat. I don't believe her. Anyway, I hope she's kicked off of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. You shouldn't have racists and bigots on there. She definitely is one. Here's a law that I really like. Utah Senate passes a bill banning gender affirming care for minors. Hey, Ron DeSantis, step up to the plate. Every state should step up to the plate on this. Every state, every red state, at least, for God's sakes. So that's what's happening in the news. Oh, another thing, Ukraine immediately asked for F-16 jets after securing American tanks. And it looks like we're going to bow down to this. I'm going to tell you why this is alarming. I'm going to tell you why I am no longer, not that I was for a long time. I just sat there thinking when this war, it was obvious to me, even when a lot of people in media, even on my side of the aisle, were saying that Putin isn't going to invade Ukraine. It made no sense to me that he wouldn't, given the fact that we have this feckless leader in the White House. So if you were going to take Ukraine, what better time than to take Ukraine than when Joe Biden is the president, president-elect of the United States of America? Why not do it then if I'm Putin? He was able to take Croatia when Obama was in office. Why not go even further? So I thought at the time, I felt at the time the best thing to do was to shut our mouths, not talk about it in the public, not try to play the tough guy like Biden, but simply make sure Ukraine was armed enough to make sure that they could defend themselves. Nothing more. No additional money. Just give them the weaponry they need. So Putin would say, ooh, I'm backing up, because I wanted that buffer between our European allies and Russia. But right now, honestly, I care about this as much as our European allies do. They're not showing a lot of care and concern about Russia. They're not investing a lot. So I say, screw you. You know what? You fight the war. I don't want our money to be spread everywhere. We had an opportunity to give Ukrainians what they need at the beginning and back away and walk away from this stuff. We didn't do it. And now the continuous open wallet that's been available to the Ukraine is absolutely nonsensical, and it's damaging the U.S. And I got to wonder why this is happening, why Ukraine can come to Biden and basically get Biden on his knees and give Biden to give up absolutely everything. I almost wonder if Ukraine and or Russia, oh, and Xi Jinping, I wonder if they knew where those documents were in his house, Penn Biden Center, perhaps the University of Delaware. I just wonder, don't you? Isn't it amazing how some leaker came out of nowhere? Zelensky comes to the United States of America, demands money from our Congress. He had to come because the Republicans took over. It's just very interesting to me. He was scared that the money supply was going to run out. But apparently, at least in my opinion, he likely had dirt on Biden. Yeah, probably Obama, too. But definitely on Biden. We know this, right? We know about Burisma. We know what Biden did to the prosecutor in Ukraine. Basically, if you don't get this guy fired, they leverage aid to Ukraine. This prosecutor looking into his son, Hunter Biden, didn't stop. Corruption, guys. All right. Now, behind Biden push to legalize government drug dens, $300 million in Soros money that has been invested. This is the article from Michael Schellenberger and Leighton Woodhouse, and I want to go through this with you because, guys, there's someone else running the White House. Now, we've all speculated with this, but I'm going to provide you more evidence that George Soros is playing a much bigger role in the White House than perhaps any of us anticipated. Again, this is on Michael Schellenberger's Substack. All right, so in Hunter Biden's 2021 memoir called Beautiful Things, he recounts the day his parents basically staged an intervention to save him from addiction. All right, so I'm going to get into addiction. I'm going to get into how George Soros is helping to fund these government drug dens around the country. Why is it that all of a sudden Democrats are like, yeah, let's just have these open areas. This will really help. Let's have these open areas where people can just take drugs out in the open in front of kids. This is going to help them. They don't have to hide anywhere. They get needles from the government. And we're like, what? How are you crazy? That's going to make the problem even worse, because it's going to make it really easy for drug suppliers to know where to go. They don't have to drive around. They don't have to text anybody. They don't have to do any of that. They go right to the spot where the druggies are to make their money. Why would anybody in their right mind do this? Good question. Very good question. All right. So again, going back to Hunter Biden and his memoir, he talks about this time where his parents tried to intervene. They staged an intervention to save him from addiction. He said he stormed out of the house as his daughters tried to block him from getting into his car. Imagine that scene. Your daughters know that you're a crackhead. Your daughters know that their daddy could die. I mean, we think he's a despicable human being, and I think rightfully so. But when you have kids, they still love you. All right. They still love you. And so his kids are trying to prevent him from getting in the car. Joe Biden chased him down the driveway. And then Hunter Biden says, and I quote, he grabbed me, speaking of Joe Biden. And then he said that he swung me around and hugged me. He held me tight in the dark and cried for the longest time. Now, even though I cannot stand Joe Biden, I can picture this scene. Guys, let me just share with you a really, really quick anecdote. I remember I remember back in the day dating this this chick. Gabe, don't get jealous there. So I remember dating this this chick back in the day. This was BC, all right? This was before Christ. And a very beautiful girl, and she happened to be a stripper. All right, I wasn't living a, you know, great lifestyle, guys. So just, you know, just so you know, all right, that BC. But I knew that she took some type of drugs. I didn't know this from the outset or from the onset. I just expected she smoked a lot of weed or something. You know what I mean? Until one day we went out somewhere and she was on heroin. And she told me this, and the chick was so spaced out and out of her mind. It was like a completely different person. Literally, she was like, ah, ah. And I'm not even exaggerating. It was scary. It was insane. It was freakish. Now, we were headed back. We were headed back. I'd gone out somewhere. I can't remember. Headed back to my place. I'm tripping off of how this girl's acting. I literally have to carry out her of the car, and literally I'm holding on to her, and she just, her body feels like it goes lifeless. Just like, I mean, literally, you could just feel the dead weight, like somebody just, and I'm like, oh my God. So I'm flipping out. I'm not trying to be loud because this is literally in the middle of the night. My neighbors are going down. I'm like, do I need to call 911? So I'm like, you know, tapping her. Hey, shaking her. Hey, trying to rub her face, you know, all this guy. Hey, wake up, wake up, wake up. Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And then she just kind of pops. And I'm like, oh my God. I mean, it was insane. And she popped up enough and she was awake and breathing. And I was a young, stupid kid, guys. I probably should have rushed her right to the hospital. I'm ashamed to say that I didn't. But she, at the time, I'm like, dude, I guess she's okay. She didn't want to go to the hospital. She didn't want to go anywhere. So I'm like, okay, okay, or whatever. So I don't even stay with her. All right. I let her sleep things off. And then the next morning, she awoke like nothing happened. And I remember just kind of playing it off in my head, eating breakfast or whatever, and then taking her back to her place. And I never dealt with her again. It terrified me. It terrified me. And I probably should have called to see if someone could help her out. Or that I just sat there and I thought, if she would have died. Oh my God, I panicked. I'm not even going to lie. Never spoke to her again. She would blow up my phone like crazy. I just would not respond until finally she stopped calling. But it was crazy. Now, Joe Biden should know this. He understands addiction. He understands addiction. He should, more than perhaps any other president that's been in the White House, likely any other president that's been in the White House for years. He and other Biden family members struggled with Hunter. So they know the problem. He should know better than most what's required when it comes to hardcore drug addiction. Intervention is required. Yet listen to this. Biden's DOJ is actively considering legalizing government-funded drug dens, which would basically enable the drug addiction, right? Not recovery. Not working on recovery, but working on government-funded drug dens. In early December, the DOJ told a Philadelphia judge that it would decline within 2 months whether to grant decide whether to grant the city a waiver from federal law so it could operate a government funded drug site. A government funded drug site. Guys, you know what blue cities are? Blue cities, or the people living in the blue cities, have become lab rats for the left. The people living in blue cities have become lab rats for the left. And that's what you need to understand. Biden isn't there. Biden has no power. He's going to, not without the left, he's going to acquiesce. The White House is compromised, guys. I hate to tell you, there's we don't have a president except in name only. the White House is compromised. I don't think it's one person per se that's running the White House, but I think Biden is so compromised when it comes to his ties with China and Ukraine and Russia that I think they've got so much dirt on him. He's got to basically do what they say. Well, Carl, what explains Russia? Why the fight for Russia? I don't exactly get that fully. I must be frank with you. I don't exactly get it. I don't think he intended to do anything with Russia. He was going to let Russia beat up on Ukraine, I think, because there was so much dirt in Ukraine. But I think they were swayed, or Biden was swayed and his advisors, by the political will of Ukrainians to survive and the outpouring from Americans. So I think in order to look good and to save his presidency or to save the midterm elections, he decided to go all in and take advantage of it as well. So now this is a problem. You have to understand that now blue cities are these labs for the left. They're drug. They're Democrats are lab rats. That's what you have to understand if you're a Democrat. So proponents of government-funded drug dens claim that this will save lives. Guys, you and I, anyone with a modicum of common sense knows that this isn't true. If you exacerbate a problem, what's going to happen? You exacerbate the problem. It's going to get worse. If there's no moral limits, if there's no resource or limits placed upon resources, the problem is going to get worse. It's the old cliche, right? You don't give a drunk a drink. Well, you don't give a crackhead, you don't give a fentanyl addict extra crack, extra fentanyl, and say that that's going to save their lives when you know, or give them a safe place to do it when you know, it's just going to kill them. Common sense tells you that these drugs kill. So what I don't understand the argument, just giving them a safe place to do it. And so it's not illegal. Sometimes people need to go to jail in order to get sober. This is amazing to me. Now, also, as far as this argument is concerned that it saves lives, let me give you some stats. The drug addiction crisis in the U.S. is the worst public health crisis that we've seen in some time. Illicit drug deaths rose from 17,000 annually in 2000. All right, in 2000, that's not that long ago, all right? So 17,000 in 2000 to 107,000 in 2021. We don't have the numbers for 2022, and I suspect they'll be even higher. So we go from 17,000 drug overdose deaths in the United States in 2000. Now we're at 107,000. Government drug use sites are based on these Harlem and Netherlands model. Now, some of the operating sites, particularly Harlem, testify to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors that the New York site had saved lives without any impact on the community. But we know that's a doggone lie because I just read you some stats. In a lot of these places or a lot of these deaths are occurring in blue cities. It's an absolute fallacy. Nothing but morons would say this. These are people that are cowardice. These are legislators that are cowards. They don't want to step up. They don't want to do the hard right thing. And they're just willing to allow these people to die. And the question is, why are they allowing people to do that? What would make a man or woman so depraved that they would say, I'm going to vote for these drug dens, except that somebody was behind it, pushing it? So now, unlike the Netherlands, at least they pressure their addicts to get into rehab or some type of recovery community or recovery center. But the Harlem sites, they've attracted this, according to the column, not reduced open air drug use and drug dealing this according to the residents that are nearby. So Harlem residents say that it's a complete fallacy. They've seen more drug addicts come to the site. They've seen the numbers grow, and they want us to believe this nonsense. In Vancouver, British Columbia, the numbers for drug overdoses there has skyrocketed, despite the fact that they allow supervised drug taking, I guess, on some of their sites. So the numbers have gone up. There's no evidence to suggest otherwise. Here's a quote from the former San Francisco mayor downtown, Willie Brown. Know what I'm saying? The problem, he says, of homelessness is not going to be solved. This is a Democrat speaking. Until one major drastic change takes place in public policy, we have to be able to impose help and treatment on people. Now, guys, I'm not for a national takeover, imposition of, you know, of controlling drugs. I'm not for that. But in local municipalities, in order to get this under control, I'm sorry, I think the local governments have to step in. They have to use their power and say, no, we're not going to have drug addicts taking drugs in front of our streets, helping the healthy environment of our city, our community, to decline. We don't want kids seeing this. Why would anybody vote for this unless they're being funded? Needles in the street, needles in parks where kids can step on them. I mean, it's absolutely insane to me. Even downtown Willie Brown gets it. Now, Biden used to be this way as well. As a matter of fact, back in 96, he opposed open drug use. In 1986, he co-sponsored the, listen to this, the Crack House Statute, quote unquote, which made it illegal to knowingly, and I'm quoting, open, lease, rent, use, or maintain any place, whether permanently or temporarily, for the purpose of manufacturing, distributing, or using any controlled substance. What changed? I'll tell you what changed. Nothing in Biden's case. He has never been a man of conviction. He has always been a man of convenience. So during that time in history, it was convenient for him to co-sponsor this bill. It isn't any longer. Now it's about power. Now it's about covering his tracks. And this is the problem when you have a president that is compromised to Biden's degree. Now he will do anything to cover his tracks. He's enriched himself with your tax money. Foreign influence, he's enriched himself. He's enriched his family. And now, to the best of his ability, he and the goons around him are going to cover his tracks, but he's compromised. He's absolutely compromised. If according to this guy, Keith Humphreys, he's the lead author of last year's Lancet Stanford Commission. Basically, he says this. He argues that intervention, if not by family, then by police, is often necessary for getting addicts to treatment. I've heard testimonies. I've actually preached for a long period of time at a drug center where some of these druggies, former druggies, and I don't mean that to sound degrading, some of these former drug addicts would say, this sensor is the best thing to happen to me. And they put me in jail for a short period of time, and then I got to get into this program, and I have to go to work. I have to clean up around here, and it's helped clear my mind where I'm able to think. I've reconnected, not in all cases, but in some cases, with family or friends. It was called the Center for Drug-Free Living, and the testimonies there would be amazing, and some of them would be unreal and just scary. This isn't good. This isn't good. There used to be in California, even, there was a Proposition 47. Let me just read this from Michael Schellenberger's column. He says here, many parents of addicted homeless children want the courts to mandate drug treatment and rehabilitation as they used to before the passage of Proposition 47 in California. This decriminalized possession of 3 grams of hard drugs in 2014. Now, since that has happened, they have seen drug use skyrocket. Jackie Berlin, she's the co-founder of Mothers Against Drug Addictions and Death. She says, I think Corey, speaking of her son, might need mandatory intervention, even though she's got a lot of pushback from people that say, hey, listen, you know, this adage, you can't force them and so on to that extent. She says, no, she says, I believe that. She believes that you can't force people. But honestly, everybody's different. And for her, her son's rock bottom is death. Don't you get that? Some of these people's rock bottom is death. We're like, let them fall. I guess you could do that when they were on cocaine. I guess to some extent you could even do that when they were on heroin. You're not doing that with fentanyl. You're not doing that with the stuff that's on the street today. Hat tip AM greatness. Top Soros director is frequent guest at the Biden White House. This from Eric Lindrum, our friend, who's come on the program before. AM Greatness, again, top Soros directors, frequent guests at the White House. Here's the summary. One of the highest ranking executives with George Soros's far left Open Society Foundation has been revealed to have close access to the Biden White House. This according to newly released records. As reported by Fox, the executive director of the Open Society Foundation, Tom Perriello, has made numerous visits to the White House for private meetings and public events over the last 2 years. Perriello also sits on the board of Governing for Impact, and that's part of Soros's inner circle. From 521 to 922, Perriello visited the White House 13 times. 13 times. And three different days had multiple appointments within the same day. Here's a quote from the Open Society Foundation spokesman. Open Society is dedicated to advancing inclusive, ding, ding, ding. There's a buzzword, democracy, ding, 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 another buzzword, and prosperity and human rights in the United States and around the world. Our leadership, like our grantees, actively advocate with policymakers to advance these goals, and that includes engaging with policymakers from both parties. Who's Tom Perriello, also has taken meetings on behalf of the Open Society Foundation and in his personal capacity. Listen to this, as a former member of Congress. Oh, man, the logs don't detail who visitors specifically meet with when they go to the White House. It says, but they may include the names of the White House officials who book the appointments and greet the guests upon their arrival. One person who greeted Perriello of the Open Society Foundation at one of the meetings was Jordan Finkelstein, the chief of staff to Anita Dunn, who's a senior advisor to Biden. Also, others include race and ethnicity policy advisor Richard Figueroa, chief of staff for political strategy and outreach Rachel Chu, and Executive Secretary of the National Security Council, Johannes Abraham. What's happening here, guys? An administrative state is happening. You have George Soros that has direct access to the White House and influence of the people that know Joe Biden has dementia, yet are helping to implement George Soros's policies right inside of the White House. Soros's own son, Alex, has also visited the White House several times and on at least two occasions had separate meetings with Biden's now outgoing chief of staff, Ron Klain. You're telling me George Soros doesn't have influence in the White House? We got drug dens that Biden is down for. We've got an open borders crisis that Biden is down for. You guys have seen the chaos in Memphis. What the hell are people rioting for? Black cops ended up killing a black suspect. And frankly, I don't think it's fair that this story, regardless of how you feel, I understand. Listen, I watched the video. It looks bad. It looks bad. I think there was wrong done on both sides. All right. It looks bad. And listen, this guy may be a good kid, and forgive me, his name, Tyree Nichols. He may be a good kid. It appeared to me that he was just freaked out and he was scared out of his mind. Nonetheless, he resisted. And I blame that on part on the race pimps out there, the Benjamin Crumps, the Reverend Jesse Jacksons, and the big perm Al Sharpton. Telling black people instead of to comply, basically that the cops are out hunting them down. LeBron James, another one, being a race pimp without realizing he's being a race pimp. So I blame them for that. But nonetheless, I think these stories are destroying our judicial system. Check out my podcast, The Carl Jackson Show, on YouTube. Make sure you watch and subscribe to check that particular podcast out, because I think I made the right call. Listen, I mean, there's a lot of headlines being made with this with that Memphis situation and Tyree Nichols. But I think the biggest damage that's being done is our judicial system is being just torn apart. Defund the police is code for F the police. That's all you need to know. It's more chaos. That's what George Soros wants. More chaos. That's what he's aiming for. Now, so we got open borders. We got this defund the police movement. We got the food supply shortage. You got George Soros' people in the ear of Joe Biden and the White House. Hat tip the Federalists. Last thing. Every dollar the U.S. throws at Ukraine zaps resources from our own depleted military. Guys, do you know what the plan is in Ukraine? Yeah, me neither. No one does. No one does, including our generals and including the quote unquote commander in chief, Joseph R. Biden. No one knows. Earlier this week, the New York Times reported on the Ukrainian government's recent shakeup to fight corruption. Quote, the dismissals appear to reflect Mr. Zelensky's goal of reassuring Ukraine's allies, which are sending billions of dollars in military aid, that his government would show zero tolerance for graft as it prepares for a possible new offensive by Moscow. No, here's what happened. Republicans gain access. Republicans are in charge in the White House. He's like, oh, crap, let's get our ducks in order. Ukrainian-born representative, and I've heard her, Victoria Spartz. She's a Republican in Indiana who, at the beginning of the invasion, was very supportive of Ukraine. More recently began to question Zelensky's administration. Spartz wanted to have greater oversight on American aid to Ukraine, for which she was criticized by many in both parties. I want oversight. Don't you want oversight? I want to know where this money is going. I want to know if the equipment is getting there or not. The U.S. has been the largest supporter of military aid to Ukraine, despite the EU having a similar GDP and 100 million more in population. Military equipment is the most important aid to keeping Ukraine's military armed and fighting, which might be why Zelensky is trying to address corruption now. He doesn't want the gravy train to stop. The problem is this is hurting us. So who's telling Biden, who was already bad at foreign policy, if you listen to Bob Gates, Barack Obama's former Secretary of Defense, who said Biden has never been right on an issue when it comes to foreign policy in 40 years. And now our U.S. military production is at risk. And these stories should be disconcerting. The Center for Strategic and International Studies think tank released a report on the U.S. defense industry and military aid to Ukraine. The report found that the U.S. defense industrial base is not adequately prepared for the competitive security environment that now exists. The U.S. would have to resort basically to crude weaponry because we're using so many of our weapons systems in Ukraine, just giving them up. Man, listen to this. The U.S. is ranked third in casting production, which is necessary for creating weapon systems. And the lag time for the production of most wars or most weapons is more than a year. The CSIS, again, this is the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said or believes the U.S. would run out of precision missiles and other advanced technology. Listen to this. In less than a week in the Taiwan Strait. Less than a week. If that were to happen, the U.S. would have to resort to crude weaponry, just like Russia is using against Ukraine right now. The 20 high mobility artillery rocket systems, which are known as HIMARS, that the United States sent to Ukraine could be replaced in about 3 years. And this depending on the production surge rate. And obviously inflation is playing a huge role too. Listen to this. This is not a debate about the aid to Ukraine. This according to the columnist at the Federalist, but rather a debate on U.S. military production capabilities. The war in Ukraine should be viewed as a sideshow for the U.S. by capability alone. More than $100 billion in aid has been sent to Ukraine. Well, our budget, our annual budget, is $700 billion. The Ukraine war should not be straining our military, but it is. If a conflict did arise and threaten the U.S., it would expend more munitions and weapon systems than Ukraine, than we've spent in Ukraine, than the Ukraine war. Man, says for historical context, the battles fought over Ukraine in World War II committed roughly a third of Germany's and the Soviet Union's army on the Eastern Front. If there is a larger conflict today, the U.S. would have to commit many more weapons in more theaters than just Ukraine. So Americans are going to have to sacrifice commitments in several areas around the world or regions around the world that the military really or that might really be of interest to the United States. I don't know the plan in Ukraine. No one knows the plan in Ukraine. No one can explain our interest in Ukraine at this point. I thought I knew it. I don't anymore. I certainly don't anymore. So we're going to see more, you know, like we saw in Afghanistan with the people holding on the planes, places where we had a strategic mission. We're going to see more of that. Now, they probably won't put it on camera, but that's going to be happening more and more because as we continue this fight in Ukraine with no end in sight, now they're talking about sending F-16s there. What the hell? We're just going to continue to spin and spin and spin and spin. No end in sight. What we need to be doing is demanding that Zelensky come to the table with Putin. Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, wrote in December to Secretary of State Antony Blinken that there was a $18.7 billion weapons backlog for Taiwan. If the United States is falling behind in support during its peacetime, imagine what will happen at wartime. And Taiwan, I'm sorry, is a more important fight because China is the biggest threat, not Russia. As we've seen, the CSI report also mentions how inflation is damaging U.S. production. Guys, this is just the tip of the iceberg. We have too many people that have influence inside of the White House. And Biden, though he's there as president in name only, and ultimately many of the decisions are his, there's an administrative state that exists within his White House where people have major influence on his policies and are, in fact, dictating some of his policies. And I believe that's George Soros. I believe that may be Zelensky. I don't know who the leaker is that told people where to find those documents. But a lot of people knew. Or more people knew than we realized. Guys, listen, I appreciate you listening in to this edition of the Carl Jackson Show podcast. Please, I'm going to encourage you to please subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Carl Jackson Show on YouTube. That is The Carl Jackson Show on YouTube. Same place on Rumble. Make sure you follow me on social media. The Carl Jackson Show is where you can find me. Don't forget about our sponsors, all right? MyPillow.com, that three-piece towel set or six-piece towel set that's available to you. If you go to MyPillow.com, click on the promo code at the top of the page or the radio listener square at the top of the page. Just enter my name, Carl, C-A-R-L. Give them a call, 800-858-0263. Take advantage of those deals there. There are some deals up to 66% off. And again, I love their towels. I love their pillows. I use their products and I love them. Also, guys, don't get caught slipping. God forbid, we don't know what can happen. You want to be prepared. Maybe it's a natural disaster of sorts, or God forbid there's a major food shortage or something worse. War, electromagnetic pulse attack. You don't want to be without food. Go to 4patriots.com. Use the promo code Carl. Again, it's hand packed in a family owned business facility right here in the USA that provides 200 jobs. The kits are compact, they're sturdy, they're water resistant, they stack easily. The food lasts for 25 years. The meals are ready to eat in less than 20 minutes. Just add boiling water, simmer, and serve them. Go to 4patriots.com. Use the promo code Carl. Get 10% off of your first order. This includes a 3-month survival kit. You'll also get a year-long guarantee plus free shipping on orders that are over $97. They're also called 4Patriots because a portion of every sale is donated to veterans and their families or charities that support veterans and their families, I should say. So go to 4patriots.com. Use the promo code Carl for 10% off. Don't forget, subscribe to the YouTube channel, The Carl Jackson Show. And until next time, guys, like, subscribe, rate it as well. That'll really help us. And until next time, don't grow weary doing good. God bless you.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.